Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Got an exciting show for you today, folks. We have a person with us today who has had a very interesting journey. A journey that I think you could say started out incredibly rocky. We're going to find out how her journey started. But from that incredibly rocky journey, she found a way to have compassion and caring for people and turn that rocky journey into a metaphysical one in which she could turn around and not only care for other people, but then show them how to care for others and take care of others. Not only that, but she also turned around and started to find missing people with a psychic gift and turn that also into a spiritual journey where she's ministering to others as well. She's got a remarkable life, folks, and I wanted to bring her on the program today and talk a little bit about every and anything. I'll tell you a little bit about her and we'll bring her on. She's the author of three books. Nancy Orlin Weber is a seasoned individual whose life journey has been marked by a profound commitment to holistic living and the exploration of her intuitive gifts. In 1963, she embarked on a nursing career where she was taught the value of embracing a holistic lifestyle and recognizing the interconnectedness of our well-being with that of the planet. The philosophy became the guiding force throughout her life. After achieving great success as the head nurse in an innovative acute psychiatric unit in the South Bronx, Nancy faced a crossroads in 1973. Despite being offered a prestigious research position in New York State psychiatry, she chose a different path due to a permanent disability resulting from an attempt on her life. Turning away from nursing, she ventured into the world of medical intuition. We'll talk about that as well. Also, she's an animal communicator. We'll talk about that today. She's got psychic abilities, and of course, she's a medium. She also established a private practice that flourished, too. Early on, Nancy began sharing her knowledge and insights with others, holding classes and workshops. Her reputation as a gifted psychic detective grew as she collaborated with law enforcement agencies for over 40 years. She contributed her skills to criminal investigations. This dedication earned her recognition, receiving badges and a sheriff's commendation for her invaluable work. Her contributions are highlighted in documentaries, which aired worldwide on iDiscovery and other global channels. In fact, you can still see her to this day on reruns of certain programs. Nancy's passion for holistic education led her to co-create a nonprofit organization in 1989, promoting conscious living through festivals held throughout New Jersey and publishing the magazine Conscious Living. She expanded her creative endeavors by co-writing songs with Elaine Silver and performing thousands of weddings in multiple states as a minister, as a co-trustee of Lightwing Center Church, which we'll talk about too. Nancy, along with her husband Dick Weber, and I believe this is Ralph Fusatola, JD, developed courses for lay practitioners, fostering a community of holistic learning and spiritual exploration. Now, in 2003, Nancy's journey led her to Young Living, which is an essential oil company, which ignited her passion for studying chemistry and understanding the natural world even deeper. Her dedication to leaving a legacy of love, compassion, and the belief that all life matters remains a driving force in her life. Let's bring her aboard right now. We're going to talk about a couple of her books, The Life of a Psychic Detective, All Nature Speaks, Conversations with Pets and Wildlife, and her latest, Soul Detective. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in to the very first time here on Darkness Radio, Nancy Orlin Weber. Hi, Nancy. How are you today?
Oh, Tim, thank you for having me on. And I'm listening to you and going, she must be a very old woman.
No.
I am, actually.
Gifted, not old.
I love it. No, I don't care. I've always loved aging.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it. I'm proud of it that, not proud, but I'm grateful that I can actually be still be here and still do things. Are you kidding? This is fun.
It is. Life is fun. You know, I kind of question people who meander through life and kind of grouse and grumble about life and kind of, you know, about life, because it really is kind of fun. The adventure's fun.
Well, it looks like your breakthroughs taught you that too, just like mine broke through, right?
Right.
So I have a friend who calls it a bump in the road, mm-hmm. or I say curveballs, because I love the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Ah.
Oh.
You said Brooklyn Dodgers.
You bet.
You refuse to acknowledge the left coast, do you?
Well, no. That's fine.
Okay.
But I knew them, and I loved the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Okay.
And the Yankees, New York Yankees.
Yeah.
I loved them. Both of them. They were so much fun to watch as mm-hmm. a kid.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
They were good.
So, okay. So baseball, there's an interest there. I almost hate to ask, do you follow the Jets and Giants too?
Not very much. The last time I followed anything, I was invited to the Port Authority box, I think it was, or the one above that. I didn't even know they had those, and sat and watched Daryl Strawberry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was right, Giant Stadium. So when I grab a few minutes here and there on TV watching baseball, baseball is the one team sport I've always loved.
Yeah. I'm a huge Twins fan. So
I played stickball in the street, and I was a great grounder with guys, my best friends. Mm-hmm. They were all men, male children. And oh my, did I love stickball. When I hit grounders, nobody could catch them. I was very proud.
So you had a bit of a swing to you, did you?
Oh, yeah. I played handball I was about 9 when I started playing it with a group of 14-year-old boys at a handball court. I loved speed, and I loved fast ground balls. And because I played ping pong, I knew how to hit curveballs. You had to play good ping pong.
Yeah.
So I knew how to hit curveballs with a handball or anything else. It was so much fun.
Boy,
I loved it.
Yeah. See, I love it. You have a zest for life, Nancy.
I think that's something we luck into, maybe, that mm-hmm. we're in today's world. I look at the kids who are into video games and all.
Mm-hmm.
I was into them as an adult.
Yeah.
I bought the first Atari among all my friends, and I would stay up late to try and beat my 2-year-old at his Atari, but I could never beat him and my daughter, and they both fell in love with all the games, and they were great from any kind of game and trivia. But I grew up, you know, without the technology for the most part. And I learned that when things are hard for me in technology, if you close your eyes for 30 seconds and vividly recall something you did as a kid that was physically great for you, doesn't matter if you knew how to do it, but you loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain will coordinate back to that time for several minutes thereafter. Mm-hmm. And you will approach things very differently. That comes from the research of the origin, if I may, of modern understanding of frequency and sound and music. And that came from a book called Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain by Sheila Ostrander and Lynn Schroeder, in one chapter about Dr. Grigory Lazanov, who talked from Bulgaria that the government gave him a grant on to study how the brain learns.
Okay.
So we learned that upon inhalation, you can store memory. On exhalation, you cannot.
Really?
Really. And that if you take classical music and you stretch it out, no highs or lows, no arpeggios or crescendos. And you do four quarter like a waltz, four quarter 60 heartbeat, the mother's heartbeat at rest. Then your brain, both hemispheres, will work beautifully together, integrate well, and you can process anything you couldn't process before. So 30 seconds research also said your blood pressure would normalize. If it was too high, it would start dropping. Your heartbeat, anxiety, it would calm down. So in today's world, what happened was there was a group of musicians who stole the concept and said, hey, that sounds great. You did all the work. We're going to get all the money. And so that's what happened. You're listening? I mean it. Because I was friends with the authors. I hadn't the privilege of meeting Dr. Zolzanov, but they had brought him here, and then the Bulgaria government threatened to kill his family if he didn't come back behind the Iron Curtain.
Oh, wow.
So he came back. I tried to bring the stuff to a school board. They loved it for their own kids. I asked them, well, why aren't you introducing it into the school system? Excuse me. Well, we want special scholarships for our kids. Why would we want any competition? That's
wow.
Education in the U.S. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Not throughout, obviously, but enough that it never spread. So in today's world, out of all that came binaural beats, hemisync, Bob Monroe, who lived down the road from me in Croton-on-Hudson, and he did the remote viewing and that based on hemisync music, based on super learning, which was the concept from Lozenov, and the book came out from that chapter, came out super learning, and then updated one in 2000. So this goes back to the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I met everyone. So, yeah, we now know about deepest healing frequency, 528, deepest healing frequency for calming, for this, for that. That all came from Dr. Rogersberry, Nobel Prize winner, split brain studies in the 50s, and Grogi knew about it, and he went and did his work, and we have that in today's world.
Well, it's an amazing gift. I know that. I mean, I use binaural beats for pain.
Me too.
For pain.
I did it at the dentist's office.
Really? At the dentist office?
Yeah. Well, I talked to my cells, knowing when I needed to have oral surgery, not too long ago. Maybe a month ago or so. So I first explained to all the cells, thank you for showing me the issue. And I apologize, but this part has to go. So when it's ready to be done, and then I take my phone in with me, I put on a binaural frequency for healing. And I explain and I say, I'm putting it on fairly low so you're not disturbed. So if you're disturbed, let me know. No, no. And you have to give me 1 minute. Why? I do a gratitude prayer first. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, building, for bringing all the blocks. And then I get to the trucks who have to bring it all in, the manufacturers. And I go through the whole thing. And then the hands of light are coming there. And now you can work. And so it was a very long surgery, an hour and a half. There were something was done wrong by a dentist, and the other part was something that happened as a consequence. So it was a long thing, and he was concerned, and he said, a prescription? I don't need anything. I go home. I put on the music. I rest. I cancel the next day's work anyhow, always. Mm-hmm. I go, you need a day to recover. You've learned your lessons.
Wow.
And then I have some formulas I make, or my husband makes for me, a recipe for any painful things that are non-compliant, so I can't mention them. And I take those every 3 hours, and I had no pain, no swelling, no nothing. I wake up the next, I went to sleep that night fine, and I woke up like nothing ever happened.
Huh.
Yep. Wow. And I've done that several times in my life when I started learning that. I would paint an area, whatever color I thought was useful. That's light waves. So you are asking the light wave to go to that area. It's missing it. And it's all intuitive. I'm not an expert in any of this.
Okay.
But I like using my intuition for it. So when it came to gums and nerve and whatever, it's blues and greens, vivid. Then I paint them. And the first time I did that, they did many decades ago, 40 years ago. I had 6 hour, 2-3 hour surgeries. They were finished in 1 hour and 15 minutes complete.
Really?
Yep. The dentist just looked at me and goes, "Do you know they were flying out?" I said, "Yes."
Huh.
They were ready to leave. I told them they were done.
And just like that, it made it that much easier.
Yes.
Really?
I find that everything is much easier if we build a feeling that we are a participant in our own issues.
Huh. So,
you know, so like I have some control, but I don't have all of it. I don't know how to do this, but I do know how to care about my body. And even if it's my body has had lots of things happen to it, both through me and by others. So I've learned that it's really important not to punish the body for what happens. Besides, it's my container.
Right, right. Well, let's get down, because you're medical intuitive. Let's break this part down during this part of the program. Let's talk about disease or dis-ease of the body and where that comes from, because obviously it's trauma and how we inflict that trauma on ourselves, because isn't that part of it? Isn't that where this disease is coming from? How does this...
Times. So dis-ease isn't always a noun of a name of a disease. Dis-ease can occur in utero. We now know that. We also know it can occur and have expressed genes because of the petrochemicals that are in the cord blood of newborns now in certain, mostly in our country. I don't know about the studies in others, but I do know these studies. And it started maybe 18 years ago, I think, roughly, that they did 10 Afro-American babies and found that they had an average of 287 petrochemicals in their cord blood. They reported it to Congress and said it is a setup for all known childhood and early aging, meaning teens, early 20s, disease. Every one of them, including, they say, this, I'm quoting a senior scientist, okay, autism, lymphomas, all of it. They said this is destroying the children. And it is. So being a medical intuitive kind of shocked me when I had been available to learn about the use of, my first teacher in nursing school, drugs and surgery are last in line. We do not use them until we have to, but first we try everything else. Know what you ate. Know what doesn't work for your digestive system. No, don't put anything that has a caution in your mouth. Those are the mouthwashes and toothpaste and all that. She lifted it and proved to us it goes right into your bloodstream. So what's the caution about? It's dangerous. If it says caution, it's an ending up in your bloodstream, which is worse. So I threw out everything. I was 16. I refused to use anything my parents had.
Yeah, there's something in the book that you in Soul Detective that you bring up, that the mouth is a membrane. We don't remember that, you know, or we're not conscious of that, that when we put something in our mouth, it's a membrane that absorbs right into the body.
Absolutely. Right. That's why sublingual under the tongue, I take B12 as a liquid under the tongue.
As do I, yeah.
It's much more absorbable that way, right?
Yep.
So we know it's a faster absorption of everything. So why would you use toothpaste that has terrible things in it and don't belong in the body? If it doesn't belong in the body, it's a biological insult. So the medical intuitive was when I was 19. Man, I was fresh out of nursing school. I was probably a month or whatever. And I was a nurse in a unit in Manhattan in a hospital. And the doctor just handed me the order sheet and it said congestive heart failure, blah, blah, blah. And the patient was being wheeled past my desk. And I just looked at the patient and looked at the doctor and said, doesn't have congestive heart failure. What's your problem? Do an upper GI. And he just looked at me. And I said, hey, he said, what do you mean? How do you know? I said, do an upper GI and you'll find out. And part of my mind was going, who are you? What a mouth. Where did that come from in you? Right?
Yeah.
Not whether I saw it or not. That was like normal for me. But what wasn't normal is opening my mouth to an authority figure and being a 19-year-old little whatever and telling him what to do. It shocked me, but I didn't care. I was mad because don't hurt the patient. So he goes off, comes back a few hours later and goes, how did you know? I said, he has enlarged hiatal hernia and not congestive heart failure. He goes, yeah. I said, you don't see it? He said, what do you mean, see it? Nothing. So that was the first time I gathered that some people don't do that. I didn't know people didn't do that. But it goes way back. And in Soul Detective, I talk about one of the greater losses I had was a dear, dear friend. We were 13. And he had been, according to everybody, he lived on my street. We went to school together with two other friends, and he had colds all year. And I remember sitting on the stoop with my mother, and she said that Alan's had so many colds. I said, he doesn't have colds. He's going to be dead next summer. And her response was, shut up.
Wow.
Slammed the door, and I'm going, how the hell do I know that? But I didn't question that I knew that something was very serious. And that year we didn't get to see him because his parents took him supposedly on a trip around the world. And then he came back and died of leukemia. And so those things became part of what in today's world they call medical media, medical intuitive. I don't care what term is used. I never used those terms. I never thought of it that way. It's others put labels on, and it's the label that is most commonly understood by others. So I go, yeah, that's what I do. When it comes to that, I like blending, though, the fundamentals of biology, whether it's animals or people, human, or birds or whatever. There are fundamental biologically needs that we have to do. And the planet has taught us that you keep poisoning the planet, you're poisoning yourself. And you keep poisoning yourself, you're poisoning the planet.
Nancy,
So,
let me go backwards for a second here. Let me
sure.
ask you about that friend of yours when you were a teenager.
Yeah, Alan.
You see that your friend has cancer.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know what it was.
Oh, you just knew that he was going to die, but
Yeah.
then you call it as it happens. Do you feel any guilt whatsoever that this happened, or do you feel
No.
responsible at all?
No, I never did. I've never felt responsible. What I gathered early on came about. Okay, here we go. It came about because when I was in my crib, I had a man by my side. He had big, thick, dark hair, dark, swarthy skin, and dark eyes. And I thought he was a wonderful friend. I was a baby. And when I was about two, I can still see. I'm looking out from my little bed at that point. We lived in a one-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn, and my mother's talking to a woman, and I see this little thing in her belly, and I look at the man, and he goes, that's a baby. And I waddle out, and I go to over the belly, and I go, oh, baby! And the woman looks at my mother and says, how the hell does she know? I just found out from my doctor. My husband doesn't even know. And my mother turned, true to form, and said, go to your room. But I never questioned because I loved the man. He was always with me until I was 13, and then briefly at 17, and then at 31, he came back. And he was my teacher. So I never doubted that there was a reason I was being shown things.
Okay.
And what I found early on when I knew these things, it was the man telling me again and again. I'd wake up, the morning of my sister's second pregnancy, 9 months pregnant, going to the doctor that morning, Monday, and I'm awake, lying in bed, and the man comes and says, your sister's going to give birth tomorrow at 2:56 p.m. to a 7-pound, 11.5-ounce little blonde boy, and his blonde will stay. Oh, okay. And I go running to my sister, who is going to the doctor, and I tell her. And she goes, oh, good, because she believes me. Okay. Yeah. And she comes back and goes, the doctor said, I'm high, nothing. Yeah. Tuesday, the water breaks. She goes to the hospital. At about 2:15, the nurse attendant or somebody says, do you want something for pain? She looks at the clock and she goes, no, I know what we're, no, I don't, because she remembered what I said. 2:56 p.m., she gave birth to Neil.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the doctor runs out. My parents are there. I'm not. And he says, burn her sister at the stake. She's a witch. And that's all I ever heard until in my 30s, my sister tells me how it saved her from getting a drug that could have passed through to her son.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Right.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I thought, why didn't you tell me that then? So what I've learned, and I learned early on, that I don't do it. I am an instrument, but I'm also being told that because I love these people, and it's giving me the opportunity to love them in a way I might not have had time for or shown them or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And I understood that that was happening anywhere, could happen anywhere. And I actually was grateful to understand that there was more to life and more to death and more to any of these experiences than the people I looked around ever even thought about. So I felt very grateful for knowing there's a deeper experience to be had in any direction about anything. And that made it more interesting anyhow, which is why I then looked to see how Alan's brother changed his whole career and became a leader in his field to save children. And I understood that that's a legacy.
Okay. Well, with that, let's take our break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about an incident that changed your entire future. One that's a bit tragic for you, but in the end, it totally shapes what you do with your life. And one that I think is not only a warning sign for a lot of people out there, but I think also shapes the way that you think. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the psychic detective side of you, which is incredibly interesting. How many people you've actually helped with your gift? You know, we have a segment on this program called True Crime Tuesday. And so I want to talk a little bit about some of the people you've helped with this gift on the crime side of things. And then I want to talk a little bit about an interesting issue I've had on the second part of the program having to do with meditation. We'll talk a little bit about actually trying to turn on that part of yourself, the little psychic part of yourself, in the second part of the program here. My guest today is a fascinating person at that, Nancy Orland Weber. She's got a couple of books out there. We've got a link in the description of this program, not only to her books, but to learn a little bit more about her. The books, again, folks, are fascinating. Soul Detective, which if you're watching the video, is in the background right there behind her. And you can not only order that book, but we've got a couple different books here. I got the pleasure of reading two of her books today. So I'm a little versed in, I know she's kind of shaking her head. She said, I don't think you can get through any of them, but I managed to dig in and read The Life of a Psychic Detective as well, which I found incredibly fascinating. So I've got a few questions there as well. So there's also another book out there, All Nature Speaks, Conversations with Pets and Wildlife, which I find fascinating as well, because I'll drop a little knowledge on you before break here, Nancy. I have five relatively tame wild chipmunks that are my little buddies that are out front. They're in torpor right now, but those are my little pals. So yeah, so that's they're my part-time buddies, but they're sleeping right now, but that's my That's my project during the spring and summer. They're my buds. So, and they all have names, and they all answer to their names, and yeah. So those are my loves during the spring and summer and fall. So, but yeah. So there's animal community. We could spend hours together today, but interesting the animal communication part of things too. You do have an interesting animal story that we'll tell during the psychic detective part of things, because I want to tell people about an interesting story that you had crime-wise too, that I found fascinating. So when we come back, more with Nancy, when we come back, again, lots of stuff. Nancy Orland Weber is our guest. When we come back, soul detective, psychic detective, animal communicator, Nancy Orland Weber, next on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. My guest is Nancy Orland Weber. We're talking all things psychic today. And we're talking a little bit about, even towards the end of the program, we'll talk a little bit about how you can develop some of your own psychic abilities and some of your own intuition. Soul Detective, the name of one of Nancy's books out there, The Life of a Psychic Detective, is another one. And All Nature Speaks, Conversations with Pets and Wildlife, is also another book out there. And we're going to barely scratch the surface of what Nancy has going on there. We have a link to the books in the description of this podcast. We also have a link to Nancy's ministries. And if you want to briefly talk about your ministry before we get going here on the second part of the program.
The ministry started off with being asked to perform weddings and memorials and baby blessings, and loved that all. Did it in 8 states over many years, 40 years or so. But in 2010, I found out that I'm a licensed nurse. And when I found this out, that they were trying to usurp a term that was not theirs to usurp at all, because it was supposed to be for family and friends, and lay practitioners can do it. But if you put it in a licensing board, it becomes fraud.
Okay.
And I was very annoyed. And I thought, no, you don't have that right. So I picked up the phone to Ralph Usatola, who was a retired lawyer. At the time, I don't think he was retired yet, I'm not sure, but he had formed this church back in the 70s. And we have a local unit, just like any church that you find in Christian religion, for instance. You've got Methodist and Baptist and whatever. We don't have a particular religion. Our religion is say, take care of the planet, take care of yourself, model it for others. That's your ministry. And so we taught and we started ordaining lay practitioners. And Young Living is the essential oil company I've been in since 2003. So I know a lot of them like to anoint the ancient way of doing things with essential oils. And I know the chemistry. So I decided to start with them. And it branched out to any and all lay practices. So I have happily ordained people from all over the country, Hawaii, California, Texas, New Mexico, Washington State, all over. And when I could, we would also host it here for the locals. So we formed a handbook. We have legal compliance chapters. We have everything, but it's a spiritual purpose. So spiritual purpose to me is to always recognize that the body is a container. It's not you. You are a soul. You are complete unto yourself. You have a brain. It's your instrument. It isn't you. And what you put in it and what you take out of it is up to you. So if you like the programs you've got inside, your downloads, then that's your central nervous system and your brain. Good, use them. But if you don't like it, change it. And so I teach that as part of the soul purpose and spiritual purpose, that you have to remember everything came as non-matter, if you will,
okay,
into matter. Soul, where is it? Go point. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's it.
All right, all right. There you go. There you go. Lightwing Center Church. So we have a link in the description of this program to the Lightwing Center. So there you go. So you can check that out for yourself outside the program. All right. So
can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tink. That is the name of my chipmunk who won't eat unless it came into my hand, sat there patiently stuffing his face.
Yeah.
I could have a bowl of peanuts, right?
Uh-huh.
And he didn't touch them. They had to go in my hand. And so others learned to wait in turn, including the squirrel would sit on my shoulder patiently waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tink had everything except for Broken Tail. Broken Tail was allowed to come in with Tink, apparently. They didn't mind each other that way. He would share with him. And oh, then yeah. Stuff Your Mouth, because he put three peanuts in, he would sit patiently waiting until he could jump in and eat.
Aww.
And then the Blue Jay was curious. Well, the squirrel was very curious. How do you get two peanuts in your mouth? So he patiently waited, watched, and then very proudly stood on me eating and then took a second one, figured it out, and every day was very proud to have two peanuts in his mouth. But the Blue Jay watching went, two? And so he learned how to do it. And so all of them were learning how to stuff more in their mouth, and they are my buddies.
Aw. Look at that. Now, did you ever have the Blue Jays and the Chipmunks? Did they ever get adversarial where they were fighting over peanuts?
They would not.
See,
The only ones that will get adversarial are the two mother deer. Because the deer ate out of our hands. The baby, when he grew up, we helped heal his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come out of the woods with a big branch over his eye, flicking his face, came over to me, put his head down, please help. And so I would pull the branch away and I say, now, idiot, don't go running off. And tell your mother to stop kicking the other woman. She's hungry, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See,
they're just friends like you. When you said it, that's why
they're friends.
Oh, my God, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I love that feeling, don't you? It's so cool.
Yeah. Well, we have a neighbor boy who comes over and he came over and he asked to see One of the chipmunks' names is Indy, and he's the one who comes when he's called, essentially. So he's kind of the most pet-like, I guess. So he said, will you call Indy out? Because the neighbor boy is just like 4 or 5 years old. So he said, will you call Indy and see if he'll come out and get a peanut? So I gave him a peanut, and I said, well, let's call him and see if he'll come out. And Indy kind of has one of his entry points into his burrow is in my garage. I know most people would freak out if they knew that. So we went to the mouth of the garage, and I said, "Hey, Indy, come on out. I got a peanut." And he came out and came running out, and he was all excited. And I said, "Go ahead, buddy." I said, "Throw him a peanut." So he threw him a peanut, and I had a peanut, and I threw another one because generally, you know, they take more than one in their pouch to, bring back to their den. And he's like, "How do you do that?" And I said, "Well, it takes a lot of time and a lot of patience." I said, "You have to spend a lot of time with them, and they get to know their name if you give them a name." Mm-hmm. I said, "But it's a lot of time. It's a friendship, you know. It's not, he goes, "Is that your pet?" He said, "Is Indy your pet?" And I said, "No." I said, "Do you see a collar on him?" And he said, "No." And I said, "And I don't own Indy, and Indy doesn't own me." I said, "Indy is my friend."
Exactly. Aren't they all just friends with us? They've agreed to be with us.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh. Yeah. So
beautiful.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of a educate. And I got a confused look from the neighbor boy, but I think he was understanding that it wasn't.
He will never forget it. I can tell you right now, he will never forget it.
Yeah.
Years ago, I did something with a granddaughter. And she just thought it was so goofy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's a mother now. She understands it. She's thrilled. It's really important that they have those moments that expand their own horizon of possibilities. They will remember that more than they'll remember many things. That's an important benchmark for them.
Yeah.
That somebody show them a different take and a very innocent, loving one that really resonates with a seriously unimpacted, terribly unimpacted, thank goodness, child, where they still have that innocence inside them. And even the kids who suffer a lot, when you show them that light for a moment, they never forget it. I never forgot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never forgot those moments from anyone. My neighbor, Elaine Fry, who was a woman who taught me how to dive off the edge of a swimming pool. Nobody would talk to me like that. She did. She talked to me like I was not 10, not 8, or whatever. She mm-hmm. was wonderful to me. Moment. That's all it took to yeah. change everything and say, "Oh, not everybody's like that one screaming."
That's true. Not everybody's like that. That's true. Very true. To switch gears, and I don't mean to switch this to a negative gear here, Nancy, but I feel there's a lesson here too. And that's this. You did go through a very unfortunate time in your life, which you've managed to change to a positive in your life that you've managed to put in more than one book to show people that you can get over extremely difficult times in your life. You can overcome adversity and you can turn it into something positive for people. You had a time in your life when you were in a horrible marriage. You got out of a situation where you could have lost your life. Can you tell our listeners and viewers exactly what that was and how you got out of that and how you turned that negative into a positive?
I think it's also about you discover who you are in times of struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And so I met Gil Preston, Dr. Gilbert Arnold Preston, in an emergency room. We were both working at the same hospital. He was a resident in training in neurosurgery, I think. Anyhow, we fell in love and we moved in together because I thought, well, you buy shoes, you try them on. Mm-hmm. I'm not about to live with anybody until I try them on. But unfortunately, he had another hidden side that I didn't see. So we got married because he got a 2-year fellowship on split brain studies in Puerto Rico, which was 8 out of about 2,000 people, I think, applied for the fellowship. So it was through the National Institute of Health, which made him a Navy lieutenant automatically. He gets there. We take a hotel because we're looking for a place to stay. He doesn't want to be on the base. We're in Old San Juan, Puerto Rico, which is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And so We're there. I have no money, no car, no phone, no nothing. And I'm starving and I can't go down and eat. And while he's at his first day of work, he comes home and I said, "Can we just go eat and talk?" And he smacks me. And I ran out. And he comes over apologizing. And I said, "Pack my bags." I walked right back in. And I didn't know who I was that way until that happened. So that's one. And I flew home and I refused to go back. His father called me and said, "You know, it takes two to tango." I said, "Only one to punch somebody," and hung up on him. And he then said, Gil called and said he was going to a therapist 5 days a week. Please come back. And I said, "Okay." So I went back figuring that he lied. And so, but he was calm. He was angry at the work was supposed to happen one way, it didn't, blah, blah, blah. So 3 months go by. I think I have a urinary infection. No, I'm pregnant. I'm in my 5th month, and he doesn't want the baby, but he knows not to say another word because too bad. With you or without you. But I was stuck there because I had had a previous injury when I was 19 by a patient. And I had emergency surgery. I lost part of a disc. And so I had rehab. So I had a weakened spine. I didn't know at that time because there wasn't the machinery to know. I was born with a congenital defect in my spine, which made it even more unstable. So I had already had lots of hospitalizations, et cetera. So 5 months pregnant, he has two, I guess, alcoholic drinks. I didn't drink alcohol. I never liked it. But he had two drinks, and apparently, unbeknownst to either one of us, he was bipolar. And he simply walked in and started strangling me and beating against a closet. So I, being a Brooklyn gal, have a part of that in me. And I thought, I'm going to die in about 30 seconds if I don't do something real fast. And so I went limp like I was dead. I held my breath and I dropped very slowly limp. He let go and I just dropped to the floor, protecting the belly without him seeing that. And I laid there. He didn't even test. He figured he killed me. So he goes in the kitchen and he continues to drink whatever he was drinking. I have no clue, but his back is turned. And I wait. I don't know how long I waited and I stood up and I was not the same. I knew that by how I felt capable of doing anything it took to keep him out of my life. And that was the breakthrough because I walked over to him and in my mind, I know I can never hurt. I've been given the opportunity to kill people. I cannot. I will not do that. Maybe. I'm holding out, so I can't promise what'll happen, but I know what didn't happen. So I looked at him and I went, "I'd suggest you never sleep again. Because if you do, there may be a knife in your heart. Whoever touched me again, you are dead." And that was that for then. And he was pretty careful. But when we moved back to the Bronx, because I couldn't do anything, 2 weeks after this, I gave when I was 9 months pregnant, I gave birth. And the doctors, before I could give birth, left me for 10 hours on 1 centimeter open apart, which means you're ready. And they went and played golf. They were all Navy doctors,
What?
OBGYN. Oh, they were lovely. And the woman next to me, they left her placenta in. So 2 weeks after we gave birth, we both came in dying. We both had hours to live. She died. And I just looked at the doctors and saw them arguing about three different organs in my body. And I thought, now you really are stupid people to think that that's me. Those are just three of the organs, but you're not even connecting them to the rest of the body. You are dumber than dumb. Except I then had an anaphylactic reaction. Almost, I died. And they were able to resuscitate me immediately because they were right there. They had to pull the plug because I was allergic to the IV penicillin. And so I looked at all of them because they had told my husband, call your mother-in-law, get them here. She'll be dead by the time they come in the morning. And I thought, try me. That's Brooklyn. Just try me. Come on. Yeah. Like, you made the mistakes and I'm going to die and leave my 2-year-old with an attempted murderer. You've got to be out of your mind to think I will do that. So 72 hours go by and I said, refuse permission to treat. Walked away. And that opened up new doors like crazy. Well, I stayed in Puerto Rico because they wouldn't let me fly because of my condition. Another disc was destroyed. And I didn't have access to anything, phone, whatever, because we lived off base. Mm-hmm. And he had the only car and he had whatever. But I made my plans. And part of the plan was being illuminated by a woman showing up by my bed in a blue suit with a blue royal blue hat, talking about the spiritual waters. And I'm thinking, you're really nice, but you're not a hallucination, because if you were a hallucination, I knew psychiatry. And I'm always, since I'm 10, I was into psychology and psychiatry. And I'm going, you can't be a hallucination. I can talk to you, so this can't be you. And I'm going through, who are you? And she would say, I'm just here to be a friend and help you. I said, good, because I'm not talking to the bastard. I said, and my baby I talk to and sing to her, make up songs for her. I don't want her to have to experience him as much as possible. I watch over her like a hawk, and he's never near her, because I will kill him. Yeah. And so she would laugh and she would get me to talk. And I'm thinking, this is fun. It's something crazy. It's still fun.
Yeah.
And so that's the part of me where you take a risk. If it's not hurting anybody, if it's harmless, then so what? It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So that's how I treated people in the psych unit and got results in minutes for people who were psychotic 20 years. It's just by knowing. So you were pissed at your brother and he left you in there. Aren't you angry? She kicks him in the leg. And I go, you want to beat him? And he yells. He says, you let him get away with that? I said, honey, if it isn't her, and I'm a lot stronger than her and younger than her, I would beat the shit out of you easily. How dare you leave her in an institute when she wasn't crazy, but surrounded by it? Now she needs help. So that's how we did it, always.
Wow.
And it was wonderful stuff for me to turn and know that there are breakthroughs, and they always usually occur at the hardest moment in our lives, because we don't want to attract that in our lives anymore. A part of us is instinctual at life itself. We want to live,
yes.
And we'll go to the edge. I mean, I must have had some intuition about the first husband. I did, because I sang Linda Ronstadt's song, Different Drummer, mm-hmm. which talks about, you know, I don't want any of the reins in on me, because I didn't want. I said no to a lot of proposals for marriage. I said no to everybody. I never wanted to get married. That was not my anything. I wanted kids, but I didn't want to get married. I wanted chipmunks and cats and dogs and everything I could find. Children, but not men. Not live with them. I like living by myself.
So I'll ask you a very ethereal question to this, and then we can button this one up.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there had to be some sort of grand lesson
yes.
behind Dr. Gill for you in order to move you spiritually?
Oh, absolutely. When I was 19, my grandmother died, Bubby Becky, when I was 17. She was the light of my life. She was my hero. And she came to me upon her death. I woke up screaming 1 a.m. in the morning that your mom just died, talking to my mother. And she screamed at me, shut up. Go back to sleep. What's wrong with you? And sure enough, they got the call. And grandma had come to me. And she was, I was her favorite. And she was my favorite. And so 19 years old, I'm a nurse. And I work in isolation nursery also. and I loved the babies, and I worked in nursery. I had a great time. And this little spirit I could feel, I called Becky. And she says, I want to come through you. I said, honey, you can't because I'm single. I have to work. I don't have any place to live if I don't work. I can't have you now. I want to be with you. So from 19 till I was pregnant, I heard Becky wanting to come to me. And so my daughter, Rebecca, is in some ways incredibly like my grandmother.
Wow.
And so she's half Gills and half me.
Huh.
So she has a lot of me and a lot. We're very, very close. And she's an amazing human being and a fabulous artist. And she owns a store. And Helene, so proud. When Helene Hurricane came, wiped out every store in Anna Maria Island, including hers. And she was the first one to reopen because her focus was first deal with it in the moment as a shock.
Yep.
Move forward. What's the first step we can take? People showed up who loved her. Children showed up who helped, who loved the store, adults. And she's just an amazing person. But that she has people pull into her like that, like my grandmother did.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. So.
Wow.
So I think, you know, that Gil was a participant for a purpose, that part, but also a past life that we both had karmically together, he and I. And it was pointed out in the first past life regression I had ever had in the 70s. And through a friend who was an artist who saw him in a photo and recalled exact same past life that I recalled in regression. And he was the killer to me, strangling me in another lifetime. And I dismissed it in my regression, said, good movie, right? But then in a photo, she never met him. Photo of 20 people, she picks it up and she goes, oh my God, I see this lion tamer killing this young teenage woman, killing her, strangling her. And she's making a vow to get back at him.
So you were doomed to do it again?
Yeah, wow. I figure. But he, unfortunately, he did a lot of good in the world. He mm-hmm. saved lives. He did a lot of good. He was an incredible doctor and good and kind as a doctor, but also took grants through the National Institute of Neurological Disease and Blindness, studying his own problem.
Hmm.
Bipolar, schizophrenia, he did research on all of it. So, yeah, it led him to look at himself, I think. Not a problem.
In retrospect, and again, we can move on after this. Do you think that he solved his issues karmically on this earth, or do you feel he just got one step higher?
Oh, I don't know about the steps. I know that he had dementia, paranoia at the end for years, and the woman's life he saved when she was a kid grew up to be a specialist in dementia unit and took him in.
Okay.
And took care of him. So there was karma all over the place for everybody. But for me, I think the resolution is my daughter believes he comes back and helps her in spirit. Okay. And so good. Yeah. I'm happy that she's found a way to feel close to him when he moved away, when he did a lot of things that were inappropriate about her. She's found a way to live with it differently too.
Okay.
And I think that's all you can do. And I don't really care what steps he took here or there. It's his world,
right.
Not mine.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I didn't want to spend too much time on him, but
yeah, that's fine.
But
it was great, except he had that one small.
Right. Right.
No problem.
Right. I do want to focus on, however, the fact that in the past you've worked with law enforcement after that terrible act there, that you managed to take that and move forward and help others, which is very admirable. there was, and I kind of wanted to tie this a little bit together with pet communication, because you did have an instance where you had your own bit where you had to bring in law enforcement to help you. And that was at one point you had your own house robbed. And in that you combined pet communication along with dealing with your own ties to law enforcement. And I just thought it was an interesting story in that you had to communicate with your own pet in order to get a lead, which I thought was interesting. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that?
About the wonderful Ramona?
Yes.
Ramona solved two cases, not just one.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, she was amazing. Ramona was a rescue who had seizures, and she was run over, I think, by a car, hit by a car. So her hip was out, etc. And she was older. And what a love. So I was out at lunch with my daughter and son and my best friend, Phyllis, at the time. And while we're eating lunch, I have an image of two men in my bedroom robbing. And I go, I'm being robbed. And Phyllis looks at my bag, my handbag, and she goes, it's still here. I said, no, not here, at home. She said, what? Go. I said, no, let's finish lunch. Don't worry about it. It's too late. And so we go home, and I told the kids, I knew about picked locks. I'm not telling you why, but I knew all those. I never picked a lock, but I knew what to look for. Mm-hmm. I dated a guy. He repossessed things legally. So I'm looking, and I'm saying, you're going to walk like little ducks after me, and I'm going to show you exactly where to sit and not move, because we don't know where the fingerprints are or what was stolen. Yes, Mom. So they did. The angels, they're wonderful. Think of living with me and police knocking at my door all the time, and they're fine. They go, hey, Mom, the cops are at the door. The Sadies are here. I don't know what I put them through. No apologies. They understood. So Ramona comes running downstairs, which was very unusual. Now, I never closed my bedroom door. It was always open to the kids. I always kept it open. I never closed it. And it was closed. And so Ramona is standing there with her tail between the legs, her ears are back. And I'm looking at Ramona. I get down on my knees and I look in her eyes and go, sweetheart, what happened? And I got very quiet. I'm just waiting to see if she shows me anything. She shows me these two men in the room and tells me they opened up my jewelry box and they opened up a closet. Thank you, Ramona. And so I opened that door carefully. She also told me she barked when they were there. And they didn't know she was incapable of ever hurting anything.
Yeah.
But they slammed the door closed because they were afraid of the big bad wolf, Ramona.
Ah, there you go.
So I thanked her profusely and told them, go, the kids love you. I called out to the kids, she's a hero. Help her. Mm-hmm. And so they did. They were wonderful. I said, you can go play and go eat, go raid the refrigerator, do what you want. We never had any food there like other kids. It was all organic and it was all natural. So their friends would all complain, say, what do you eat? And they said, food. So I go in the bedroom and I walk carefully. And my second husband at that time had a rifle, a hated guns. I was offered a gun by the police. I refused it. I said, no, I might shoot you by accident. I don't want that responsibility. No, thank you. I get pissed. I'm kind of an angry Brooklyn gal. Don't do this with me. So, but I have a baton. I had handcuffs. I had all the costume. Mm-hmm. And so I open the closet and the rifle's gone. I'm going, good. I hope they find it and put it back and somewhere else. Take it away from here. Don't ever give it back to him. And I go to my jewelry, and all I had was some a few rare coins, like two or three for the kids to save.
Yeah.
And my grandmother's ring, gone. And that was it. I didn't have real jewelry or anything. And I went, you idiots. But so I called the detective friend and he said, I'm in the midst of an interview, but I'll send over my partner. I'll send somebody over right away. So he sent over this cop who walks in and says, Ross said to me, because Ross was the chief of detectives, he said, just to write down everything you say. I said, okay. So I start telling him where everything is. And I said, two guys came in from that window. You can go check it. There's probably scratches on it. They opened it up. One's named Dave and one's, I forget the other name that I mentioned, Dan or something. And he said, oh, you know them? I said, no. I just keep going, not thinking anything of it. And then Ernie was the partner to the chief. He's a detective. So he comes in and he said, let me see the notes. And then I looked at him and I went, there's a fingerprint. The Morons didn't wear gloves. And I go over to the light and I go, take that with you. And he said, anything else? I said, yes. This one went and took the rifle, like a dummy he is, to his mother's apartment right up above us. And it's in the attic. And you, the other moron, took my rare coins and bought hot dogs with it. And I'm a vegetarian. They wasted all that on hot dogs. I would have given them the money for it. I'm so mad. He said, and the poor cop's standing listening to the two of us and going, not a word. He's afraid he'll lose his job. And so this goes, and I said, oh, and my watch. So they stole, I think it was my grandmother's watch I had. I'm not quite sure, but I had a watch. And I said it was on Dave's girlfriend's dresser, and she lives at blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so 8 hours go by, and Ross calls me. He says, come on over. I said, okay. So I go back, and he's sitting there. I'm so happy. He was such a character. I love it. He's on the other side now. And we visited when he moved out of state with his wife, and he takes me to death row on vacation. I was very crazy world. So he's sitting there like this, Cheshire cat, right? And I said, okay, what? He said, well, I know who such and such was, and I called him and I said, you better get in here with your mother, because I knew his mom. Okay. And I turned to him in front of his mother and said, we have an eyewitness. You put the rifle in the attic. I said, you, what did you say? Because there's no window in an attic.
Right.
He said, were you not an eyewitness? He said, so he confessed. What he, I said, he confessed when you said that. He really is stupid. And then he said, so, and then Ernie went and knocked on the door of the girlfriend who said, you can't come in without a search warrant. So he handed her the search warrant, walked over the dresser and picked up my watch.
Oh my gosh.
Laugh. It was so fun. It was fun. How do you not have fun with this stuff? And then he looked at me. He said, so then Dave called from a phone booth and said, please don't shoot me. I'm coming in. He said, it's all wrapped up in 8 hours, the fastest burglary we've ever solved.
Please don't shoot me. I'm coming in.
I said, good. As long as they have certain time somewhere, it's a lesson for them.
Right.
Yeah. I said, they're young people. They were like 17 or 19, something like that.
Yeah.
I said, this is a life. Do they really want it this way or not?
Yeah.
So I'm glad we caught them, because when you talk about the purpose, I find that just like knowing when somebody was dying, that's a purpose. It's a purpose to say goodbye to them. It's a purpose to know that it's, you're still here, make it a legacy. Do something about it. Mm-hmm. That makes their lives having been lived worthwhile, whether they died at 4 months of age, in utero, or 90. It doesn't really matter. It matters to them, but and to the, you know, but make it count.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Ramona had helped you on a second case too. And that one was a little more detailed, but that had to do with a potential serial killer, right?
No, three missing kids.
Oh, three missing kids. I'm sorry. Three missing kids. That's right.
Right. In fact, it was the first one, I don't know in the country, but it was the first one in New York State, New Jersey, that was after Carter signed making the misdemeanor of parental abduction into a felony. It was the test case here.
That's right. Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Not the what happened, but the fact that Carter heard everybody, all the moms and dads who had parentally abducted kids, the only way you ever got them back was to steal them back and then pray that they're never stolen again. Good luck. So yeah. He changed that law.
Yeah. And that case, again, that case is in the book, The Life of a Psychic Detective. And again, we have a link in the description of this podcast, so you can go read about that case in that book. That case is incredibly interesting as well. And it's amazing how you kept getting these signs or these clues as to what was happening with this guy who had abducted his kids. And again, at the time, it wasn't a crime. Mm-hmm. It is now.
Yes. It became a crime then because he was arrested when we finally were able to appoint him. And so that was the first bench warrant issued to somebody. And he was jailed at the time. And the kids came home successfully. So the thing that I learned about all of it is, how do you want to connect with anybody, anything on this earth? And when we connect to offer any help, call Indy, right?
Yeah.
Really, whatever connection we establish, we're telling the universe this is who we are. And the universe is sending it back tenfold and going, okay, you want to be friends with them? You got it. We'll send you a lot of friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. It's very true. Speaking of, as we start to wrap up a little bit here today, Nancy, there's people out there that are probably saying to themselves, and they can find out a lot of this information in your book, Soul Detective, as well, which, by the way, is brilliant because you take people through the ways that they can start to develop themselves and develop their own intuition and develop how they can start to develop some of these gifts and do a lot of the stuff that you do as well. But we were talking before the show and I was telling you, you know, a lot of times when I try to meditate, the simple act of me trying to meditate, I fall asleep. It's just, I start with the breathing. I was reading a little bit in Soul Detective about just the simple act of deep breathing. And I get into that relaxed state and then I'm out like a light, right? And you were telling me something interesting about this. Now, what were you telling me?
That it is not falling asleep usually. It is entering into something you're unfamiliar with. Charles Tart's book, Altered States of Consciousness, he tested a lot of people and found there are many different states that we enter into deeper and deeper. Sometimes we're not aware, like under hypnosis, but you're not asleep. But a lot of people who are able to be hypnotized, when they're back, a lot of times they don't remember a single thing. And I've been hypnotized a few times, and with one, I don't remember anything. And with the other, I pulled myself out. But I was in and was a witness to what was going on, but I was under, so different states. And when you do it like you did it, you can maybe fall into a very deep trance and not know what's going on beneath the surface. That's not so uncommon. So when you, instead of meditating only, I would do some guided visualization on your own where you give yourself what comes to you as a imagination or creativity, sacred space, and see a wise old soul coming to you and have a conversation with them. Keep your mind a little active first, then do some meditation and see what happens.
Okay.
Be curious and then let me know.
Yeah, I'll do that. What's interesting and what I wanted to throw your way is this, is there was a time when I was younger, much younger, where a therapist tried to put me deep into hypnosis and they pulled up a lot of trauma. In fact, he thought it might have been past life trauma, because he said I was speaking either in a foreign language or in tongues, and I was screaming and crying. And it was almost like he went too far. Mm-hmm. And he had to pull me up and out of it. It's almost like, you know, when you're digging for water and you hit oil or you hit gold or you hit metal or you hit whatever, or you hit a sewer line. I think he might have gone to a place where he didn't mean to go. And he
should never have brought you out so soon, though, and cut you off from. Because it makes you very vulnerable. If you're experiencing something, it's like they know in the protocols for EMDR, which is bilateral work therapeutically. So in it, they know the real protocol, if you did it lovingly, is not 1 hour session. It might end up being 2 hour session or 45 minutes. You cannot have them walk out when they're more vulnerable. And that's something about even lay practices in healing arts, spiritual healing arts, where we do something, it doesn't matter what, you cannot keep the person vulnerable and just say, okay, you're done. If they're in the middle of an emotional state, like in past life regression, I think one of the early ones I did was 2.5 hours. I didn't know it would go, but I couldn't take her away from what she was experiencing because she had to have a catharsis and feel safe when she came back. So I'm listening to what you said, and if it was a past life or generational ancestral history pulling up, mm-hmm. could be, and that could also be your past life, both. We don't know, right?
Right, right.
Then the job of somebody is to assist you to find peace before they bring you back, if they can, unless you brought yourself back.
Oh, no, he definitely brought me back. In fact, he brought me back, and then it was like he just wanted to. His words were exactly this, that he didn't want me to stay there any further or any longer because he was afraid that in the trauma I was in that I would suffer a nervous breakdown. That was his words. That's how hysterical I was. And that he brought me up out of it and just wanted me to settle down. Unfortunately, we were out of time. The famous psychiatrist words. And then it was, well, I want to see you again next week. Well, I'd still felt that terror. You know how you feel that terror in your chest, that sheer terror?
Yeah.
There was no way I was going back after what I was still feeling.
But
I mean,
that's my point.
Yeah, it was right. That terror and that trauma.
Not safe. It was
yeah.
Door opened and it needed to be gently closed. One of my best friend in today's world for many years is a woman who is a social worker, master's degree, certifications in Gestalt and everything, and is a trauma recovery expert who helps in an organization called Helping Parents Heal, parents who lost their children through anything and everything. It's an organization created by people who lost their child, non-religious, all spiritual. They have psychics, they have mediums, they have trauma recovery experts, and she works with them beautifully. And she's one of the gentlest souls I know, but also fierce. So she does EMDR. She is certified in it. She can teach things. She's a grief therapist. And she's taught me a lot. You never keep anybody vulnerable. And I knew that in psychology and psychiatry, because I read hundreds of books on them. By the time I was 16, mm-hmm. I can root out a lot of issues and see them in everybody. It was weird. But I know. I mean, that's why when I did a regression in the 70s on somebody who called, I could not stop her until she resolved everything herself comfortably enough to come back. And when she did, it was overnight transition from a hellhole she lived in for a while to wonderful. I met her months later in a supermarket. She was glowing. And because it had to do with so many things, that past life memories, that was shocking and horrible. It 180 degree change. So that vulnerability, by slamming the door and by telling you, you would have had a breakdown. That's his fear, not you. Catharsis is catharsis. We can scream and cry. It's like when my kid would have, Jesse had a temper tantrum in the middle of a living room while a radon expert, toxicologist, is with me trying to uncover something for somebody dying at Columbia Hospital. And he's asking my help. And the kid is... My focus was on helping this. Normally, my focus, if it was just my son, I'd be lying down next to him and screaming with him. And he'd look at me and he'd go, what's the matter with you? I don't know, but it's good to get it out. He'd go, me too.
Well, I kind of got the feeling like he was out of control. It wasn't necessarily that I was out of control. He was out of
terrified.
Control. Yeah, and I didn't want to go back because if he wasn't able to control the situation, I wasn't going to go through it again with him.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's true of everything, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if they don't look like they know what they're doing and they're leaving us in a state, it's goodbye. Yeah. nice meeting you. Bye bye.
Yeah, I'm not going to put myself back in your hands if you.
I know that's awful.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
So I hope whatever you do about it, you talk, you write, you do things creative to release whatever, because that's why I wrote the books. I mean, they are my catharsis, but they're also my desire to say, look, folks, the word psychic, Greek translation, English translation of a Greek word, the Greek word is psycho, shikaiko pronounced. It means soul. So psychic means soul. And if you got a soul, you're psychic. It's that simple. But if you don't focus and pinpoint it, I quote Da Vinci, point your light in the direction. That's all he ever did.
That's a good way of ending it. There's two great, actually three great books out there, but two that I know I've read today that I encourage you to read, The Life of a Psychic Detective and Soul Detective, which we have links to all the books in the description of this program here. We also have a link to the ministry as well in the description of this program. Nancy, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Tim, you are the most delightful person. I love being with you. And oh, yeah, I want to meet you, chipmunks.
Well, I'll have to send you pictures. I'll send you some pictures and videos so you can take a look at them. They're the cutest.
Pink is in my book, a photo of him eating in my hand, feeding him.
Oh, I want to see that. Yeah, yeah. The only one I can get to jump in my lap is Indy. The rest of them are a little skittish yet, and I let them be because you know that's the way they are.
Yeah. They're chipmunks.
Yeah, yeah.
They flit.
Yeah, and it's all in their process, right? You gotta let them be them. So yeah, they have their comfort level, but Indy's probably the most comfortable around me. So
yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It has been so delightful to me spend time with you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And the pleasure was all mine, Nancy. I appreciate it. Nancy Orland Weber has been my guest. Again, links in the description of this podcast. Folks, that'll do it for this week. Again, we've got great new programs coming up next week. I want to remind you a couple of things before we go today. One, the Apple app is available right now for Darkness Radio. If you have an Apple device, and you don't have the Apple app as of yet, go to the Apple Store, download it on your device. If you have the Apple app and you haven't updated it recently, be sure to do so. That update is available and ready for you right now. Go to darknessradioshow.com and visit the store. We have some great new swag there. Be sure to go to the store and check out the new swag that's there at the store as well. If you're watching this video on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. If you're not watching the video of the discussion I've just had with Nancy Orland Weber, well, then by gosh, you'd have a whole new world to discover with Darkness Radio. If you're just listening to the podcast, go to darknessradioshow.com and you'll be able to find both the audio and the video there. Again, darknessradioshow.com, and you'll be able to get both the audio and the video under the description of the show. Be sure to check out both, or just go to the YouTube page, which is the original Darkness Radio. You'll be able to find our video page there at YouTube, and subscribe, please. We'd like to have you on board there as well. I think that'll do it, folks. Again, the weekend is coming up and things are going to warm up a little bit. The whole nation's been at a bit of a deep freeze, but that still doesn't mean that somebody out there doesn't need your help. Be a good friend, be a good neighbor, be a light in someone's darkness this weekend. Be sure to go out there, help a friend, help a neighbor. Go out and help somebody who may be immobile or may need your help with some shopping or clearing out some snow or whatever it is that somebody needs this weekend. Winter's still upon us, folks, so go out and help somebody in need this weekend. Be a light in someone's darkness this weekend. Just a message from your buddies here at Darkness Radio. For Mally Fox, for Jessica Freeberg, for Beer City Bruiser, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for listening to the best in true crime and paranormal podcasting. Thank you so much for listening and watching Darkness Radio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.